Our good pal, friend of the program, Rob Rang. You can see his work on CBS Sports and the Sports Exchange as well. Rob, it's great to see you. How are you?
Good to see you.
Good to see you, Rob.
Doing well, thanks.
Rob is a staple of our draft coverage. It's great to have him join us today. And, Rob, we haven't had a ton of stuff go on yet here. We've had some measurements, the offensive linemen running some 40s and things like that. Nothing huge. What are you most looking forward to seeing this weekend? What group has you excited that you really think what we see here today could really influence how you start stacking players at a certain position?
Well, I think you have to start off with the quarterback position. I mean, just because of the fact it's obviously quarterback is the most important position in the game. We all know that. But just this year's class is so closely stacked together. And in my personal opinion, Mitch Trubisky from North Carolina is the top quarterback, but I want to see him throw the ball well here. Deshaun Watson and Deshaun Kizer both measured in, of course, well. And then that was exciting just in that element. I want to hear them speak. I want to hear them, really command the stage. I mean, that's the thing that you're looking for, you're expecting at the quarterback position.
Yeah,
so certainly,
point.
That would be the biggest position.
You know, Rob, so many of us talk about how the combine isn't going to move the lever too much on some of these guys because these teams have done so much work on them already. It's this thick, you know, before a guy even gets here. But is there a QB who could suddenly vault himself somewhat near the top, or is it really that thin in terms of the depth after the top three guys?
Well, I would say the top four guys, because I think the Texas Tech's Patrick Mahomes is the player who could absolutely vault himself up this week. Now, I was a little surprised, to be honest with you. He came in just exactly at 6'2", 220 pounds. It surprised me. I thought he'd come in a little bit taller than that. Trubisky ended up being a little bit taller than Mahomes. That was one of the surprises, I thought, of the first day of measurements and all those kind of things. But when you watch Mahomes on tape, there's no question that he is a work in progress. Coming from that spread offense, very rarely was asked to make full reads of the field. But at the same time, the kid has an absolute bazooka for an arm. He has the athletic bloodlines with his dad, the former pitcher. And so because of that fact, he has the upside that I think in a class like this, is the kind of thing that people are going to gamble on.
You know what this draft class reminds me of a little bit, Rob? I want to go back to the 2011 class. And you look at the top 12 or 15 picks in that class, you have Von Miller. You have J.J. Watt. Now, Cam Newton was the first pick. But the non-quarterbacks picked in the top 15 in 2011 were off the charts. One of the best classes you'll ever see. But then, who else do you have in there? You have the quarterback that the name's killing me. The Titans picked, and he was Locker.
Jake Locker
was in that mix.
Yeah,
you had a couple other quarterbacks in there.
Blaine Gabbert
was in there, too. And then there was one other quarterback in the top 15 that did not work out that year. I can't think of the name. And this
Christian Ponder, maybe.
That might have been the Ponder year. So their draft was great, but people who are desperate for quarterbacks.
Exactly.
Little reach.
Yeah.
Do you see like this draft class could be that type of year? Because the non-quarterbacks in the top 15 to me are off the charts good.
No, exactly. I think that's a great comparison. I don't know that there's a Cam Newton in this draft class.
And that's fair. And that's fair.
But everything else I think is true. I think that you are going to see some teams who are likely to reach for some of these young quarterbacks. And if they push them onto the field as quickly as the clubs did with the Blaine Gabberts and with the Jake Lockers, et cetera, then it's all the more likely that we're going to see very, very talented players. Other positions fall down the board, and teams are going to look brilliant because they went with one of those edge rushers or one of those great tight ends, one of those great corners or safeties. To me, that's really where this 2017 draft stands apart from many others, is that there are four elite positions. Tight end, cornerback, safety, and edge rusher is phenomenal. And so if you have a need at those positions, great. And even if you don't have a need, then find a need and grab one of those players, because those are the ones who are actually going to wind up being difference makers in the NFL.
I want to build off of John's question for a second. Do you think that next year's draft, and I know I'm getting ahead of myself, but your research material is this deep anyway, is next year's quarterback crop likely to have better blue chippers, or at least more blue chippers than what we've seen this year?
Oh, absolutely. Because it's very likely to have USC Sam Darnold.
And
Sam Darnold, I mean, he's only going to be a redshirt sophomore, but I think already, if he was in this class, he would be that Cam Newton type of guy. He would be the number one overall pick, in my opinion. I mean, as high as I am on Myles Garrett and the rest of this great defensive lineman and, you know, all those other positions we just talked about, Sam Darnold, in my opinion, is one of those rare blue-chip quarterbacks. And it's, obviously, we have a very small sample set with him, but he has the size, he has the arm, and best of all, he has the poise that you're looking for at the quarterback position.
Now, we've talked about tight ends today. We've talked about O.J. Howard and Njoku a little bit. I want to go to that second group. Mm-hmm. Let's say both those guys are off the board and the Giants pick at 23, which I think is actually a pretty distinct possibility given how good they might be this weekend. Two guys that I've gotten questions about online about, Evan Engram and Gerald Everett. Tell me about them. How do you differentiate, and which guy do you like better, and who else do you think is in that class with those two guys?
Well, I think those two are similar players. I mean, they're both in that 6'3", 245-pound range, you know, and that's the big question anymore is that are they true tight ends or are they more of just kind of flex joker tight ends or even slot receivers? And they both have played in those roles throughout their careers. I mean, obviously, the level of competition that Engram played at Mississippi and going to the Senior Bowl speaks for itself. I mean, he is just a terrific hands catcher. I mean, his ability to pluck the ball outside of his frame and move is really what kind of helps him stand out. It reminds me a little bit of the kid in Washington, Jordan Reed.
Wow.
That he can be that kind of a dynamic guy. Gerald Everett, in my opinion, is basically a slightly slower version of the same type of player. I mean, he's a good player who feasted on the competition that he faced while at South Alabama. But at the same time, I'm very curious to see how he performs here because I saw him run very, very well against slow competition, and it seemed like the top competition he struggled with a little bit more.
Rob, I'm going to put you on the spot here because since getting to the combine, I'm hearing that there are fewer people excited about the three leading tackle prospects in the first round than maybe I heard a month or so ago. Not that these guys are not good guys. Mm-hmm. I mean, we've all heard them talk at the podium, and they've all said very nice things. But it just seems that the star has lost a little bit of its luster on all three of them, from what I could tell. Is that true in your mind?
It is in my mind. I mean, I've been pretty low on these guys for a long time now. I mean, you know, if you start off with Cam Robinson from Alabama, I mean, he was the Outland Trophy Award winner, and we have certain expectations when you hear something like that. But at the same, and he is very physical as a run blocker, but he is sporadic as a pass blocker. He doesn't have the great length and the great quickness that you're expecting as a left tackle. Ryan Ramczyk from Wisconsin, again, doesn't have great length. I mean, he came in with 33¾-inch arms. That's pretty short for a left tackle. He has terrific feet, but only 1 year as a starter at the FBS level. I mean, that's scary. He's coming off the torn labrum, so there's some medical issues there. And then Garrett Bowles is probably the tackle I'm the most excited about athletically speaking. But again, we're talking about a 1 year starter at Utah. He was playing next to Isaac Asiata, the Morris Trophy Award winner, as the best offensive lineman in the entire Pac-12. So,
and he's 25 years old, by the way.
Exactly. So how do you invest a first round pick in a player who arguably wasn't the best offensive lineman on his own team? So that's I would agree with you. I think that the offensive tackle position this year is a scary one.
Yeah, and that's what the Giants will have to figure out when they get to 23. It's a need. Are one of those guys going to make sense for them with all these other positions? You talked about the strength. We mentioned tight ends already. D-end, cornerback. Where do you think the Giants will find value in those two groups when they're at 23? Do you think they'll be able to get a day-one starter? Whether or not they need a day-one starter either group spot is a different question. But talent-wise, could they find a guy that is a good enough player to be a day-one spotter if they need them to be at that spot of 23 to either D-end or corner?
No question about it. I mean, that's as I mentioned before, those are two of the absolute strengths in this draft class. And so because of that, I think the Giants are going to be able to take the best player available at defensive end or cornerback, and I feel very confident that it will be among the elite players still on the board. And so you are filling an area of concern. You are filling it with a best player available. And just to kind of go through some of the names, I mean, like a Taco Charlton from Michigan is a terrific player. Carl Lawson from Auburn. Charles Harris from Missouri. I mean, all three of those players I think are going to go right around where the Giants select as far as edge rushers. And they're very different guys. I mean, with Carl Lawson, talking about a kid who's going to be 6'2", 250, but he's so strong and he's so quick. Whereas Charles Harris is, you know, maybe an inch or two taller, also has the quickness, but hasn't been quite as productive, quite as consistently as Carl Lawson does, but doesn't have the injury concerns. Taco Charlton might have the highest upside of any edge rusher in this class that's not named Myles Garrett. But because he only did it for 1 year as a full-time starter at Michigan, then he has some questions. So especially at edge rusher, I think that the Giants have a lot of options. And among the cornerbacks, you know, there's a laundry list of guys. I mean, Marlon Humphrey is a player from Alabama who I think fits in well with what New York likes to do because of his length, because of his straight-line speed. So he is a guy that I'm excited about. Sidney Jones from Washington. I mean, no one threw a touchdown on him all season long. I mean, in the past happy Pac-12, that's saying something.
That is saying
you know,
something.
So those are two guys that everybody's talking about, the Tease Tabers and the, you know, players like that. Humphrey and Sidney Jones are two of the guys who I think are absolute first-round picks that not a lot of people are high enough on.
You know, I'm going to go to a different position on defense for a second because they haven't taken a linebacker in the first round since Curl Banks. And I got to think that string continues. I don't know. From your perspective, would that be a wise thing to do?
To me, there's only two linebackers in this draft class that warrant first-round consideration. I would say Alabama's Reuben Foster and Vanderbilt's Zach Cunningham. Reuben Foster is more that kind of a run plugger in the middle, you know, very, very physical, has the athletic ability to be able to drop back into coverage and do in the blitz as
He'll
well.
Be long gone by 23.
I think he will. There's some medical issues with him that I think could scare some people off.
Was he shoulder problems, Foster? Yeah.
And he's had, I mean, shoulder problems, knee issues. He had a concussion earlier. But there are things that are a little bit of a concern. Certainly in the combine environment, every injury is nitpicked. But he is a guy who he's a tough guy, and so when you practice and play as hard as they do at Alabama and play as many games, frankly, as they do at Alabama, those kind of things are going to pop up. Zach Cunningham might just be even more athletic, which is saying something because Foster is a freakish athlete. But he's really long arms, and it allows him to kind of lasso ball carriers that look like they're out of his grasp. And because of that fact, I think that he even has a little bit more positional versatility. He can line up inside in the middle linebacker position as well, go to the outside as well. And so I think that those are the two guys that would make the most sense. And if either one of them are on the board for the Giants, then I think that they would be among the best players available.
Last question for me. One fan wanted me to ask about another linebacker. I figure it's a good opportunity. You're talking about the position. Jared Davis. The linebacker. What are your thoughts on him? Where do you think he might land? What are his strengths and weaknesses?
Yeah, he's a guy that a lot of people seem to be a little higher on than I am. I mean, there's an old saying in the NFL, it's kind of cold, but it's true that you can't make the club in the tub. And Jared Davis missed a lot of time throughout his career while at Florida. He does have terrific speed. He's going to be in that 6 foot, 240-pound range. So he's shorter.
He's a mic or an outside?
I think he's a Mike. I think he's athletic enough to play in the outside as well, but I just think that with that size, I want him to be able to come in, get underneath the guards and the centers, and be able to kind of set the stage at the point of attack right there. I mean, go up and get it, and he can do that. And again, he has the athletic ability to be able to play on the outside. At the same time, I don't know that he's the dynamic edge rusher. I think that some of that was Florida's aggressive scheme, putting him in positions to succeed. And again, the lack of durability is really my biggest concern with him. So I know that some people out there put him in the first round. He has those kind of traits. And certainly if there's only going to be two linebackers going in the first round, there's going to be some need there. I just think it's going to be kind of like that we talked about before, those teams that reach for the quarterbacks. I think a team that reaches for a linebacker in this draft class is going to give up the opportunity to select better edge rushers and defensive backs and ultimately possibly look foolish a couple of years down the road from now.
John, I'm going to go offense with my final
Please.
Question. Let's just say the Giants are looking for a power back to renew an earth, wind, and fire combination in their backfield. They're probably not going to take one real high in the first or second round because if you're going to have a guy who's a part-time player, you're going to take him in the third, fourth, or fifth round. That makes a lot of sense. All right, between the guys like P. Ryan and Foreman, maybe somebody else, who would you suggest they be looking at in that range?
Well, P. Ryan certainly, I mean, the strength that he showed yesterday, I mean, 30 repetitions, 225 pounds, that just speaks to his power. And we all saw what he did with Oklahoma. I mean, he is a terrific power back. And I think that would be, like you said, the earth, wind, and fire. I think that's exactly what you need to do with him is to complement him with a speed running back. But he can be that guy in between the tackles to be that bulldozer. But the power back that I'm most intrigued by in terms of just his toughness on and off the field is Pittsburgh's James Conner. And the fact that he came out.
You're the second person to tell us that, by the way.
Well, and it's not just because of the cancer survival. I mean, obviously, we're all rooting for him because of that. This is just a terrific football player, too. I don't know that he's going to run that well in terms of 40-yard dash, but he's got lighter feet than people give him credit for. I think he's going to wind up being a better NFL player than Deontay Foreman, who everybody loves because of all the statistics that he put up. But that was a one-year kind of splashy performance. In my opinion, James Conner is, other than Leonard Fournette, of course, is probably the best big back in this draft. Wow. And I think you might be able to find him in the middle rounds, and I feel very confident that he has not only the physical talent, but, of course, the mental toughness to be able to be successful at the NFL.
I'll certainly give you a chance to revise as we get closer to the draft, Rob. Give me a name at 23 for the Giants.
Name at 23 for the Giants right now. Actually, I've been kind of doing something a little bit different than everybody else. Everybody's going with, the edge rushers and the cornerbacks. I really think that addressing the running game has to be a concern for the Giants. And so I've been going with Christian McCaffrey. And I know that that's a pick that's going to surprise some people, and then they're not going to like it. Maybe they will like it. I like it because I think that if you give Eli Manning another dynamic receiver, and that's the thing about Christian McCaffrey, is people ask all the time about, can he be a three-down back? I think he's a four-down back. I think that he is one of the few players that has the ability to not only impact the game as a runner, as a receiver, as a return man. I've been comparing him to Reggie Bush throughout his career. He's that type of a difference maker. Wow. And so I don't know that he's going to come in and be a 25-touch-a-game kind of a guy. As far as, I don't think he's going to get that many rushing attempts, but I think that he can significantly impact an offense's ability to run the ball, catch the ball out of the backfield, as well as in the return game, and that, to me, screams first-round pick.
Good Rob, stuff. Great stuff. We appreciate it always, my man. Thank you so much. Rob Rank, CBS Sports Exchange, joining us on Big Blue Kickoff Live.